In our ministry priorities work, we named three things that we would do to live into them. One was that we would train conveners, which is getting off the ground and moving. We also said that we would streamline our funding processes, which is also underway. And the third thing was a commitment to try things. Many of you are already trying things out in your local ministry settings, and that's exciting. Now, I want to encourage that to continue as much as possible. As your bishop, I am also trying things. I'm rethinking how we supervise and deploy superintendents to support our churches and ministries. Now, as we consider superintendency and how we endeavor to deploy them differently in this next season, I want to share a few highlights and responses to some of the questions we've already received. We can't answer every question now, but we can start with a few things. The role of district superintendent is overburdened, too administrative, and responsible for far more than any one person should ever be asked or expected to do. I've heard you say that you want leaders who know you and respond to you. You want resourcing that is contextual and that you have some confidence in. This redesign of superintendency, I believe, is a response to your requests. As we start, it's important to note that in the Alaska Conference, we'll continue to have a single conference superintendent. A single district superintendent will continue to oversee the Crater Lake and Cascadia districts of the Oregon-Idaho Conference. In all the other districts, starting with the SeaTac district this year, with the rest transitioning in 2026, we will have superintendency teams to serve and support congregations across our conferences. For a while, we'll have a both-and structure as we learn. We acknowledge that where we begin might not be where we land in another year or two, but we must start somewhere. A part-time superintendency is not the same as having a part-time district superintendent. We are asking each of our superintendents to serve in a team where they lean into and identify the areas of ministry where they flourish and excel. Covenanting together, they will create a team that serves our churches with other partners to create a whole team. One of the things people ask is, aren't you just asking people to take on two full-time jobs? The answer is no. What I've asked for is half or one-third of a pastor's work week, not half or a third of their life. To get to that, each pastoral leader serving the superintendency must be clear about what they are releasing to allow time and space to serve as a superintendent and a pastor. They must be clear about their boundary setting and observation. As their bishop, I too must be aware of how much I ask of them beyond what's already on their plate, as a superintendency team or as a pastor in a local setting. Our local churches and ministries must adjust as well. The superintendent is not at your beck and call. They are not waiting there just to help you when you're in a difficult situation. They will be there to support you when you need it, or they will deploy someone to support you when in a difficult situation. I'm asking these new superintendents to come alongside our leaders and ministries to help you discover what you can do together while optimizing the impact our ministries can have in the communities we serve. And as they do, there are two things I've asked them to focus on: development and connection. Development is about nourishing and supporting spiritual principal leaders, lay and clergy, in each of our ministry settings. When I think about connection, I'm concerned not just with our United Methodist connection. I also want us to consider how we connect with ecumenical partners, educational leaders, and those in the nonprofit sector to do the ministry to which we've been called. I'm encouraging the superintendents to avoid those things they don't do well and find somebody else to do them. To that end, we will train and deploy conveners, whom you've already heard about in our priorities work, to work on specific needs and projects. We will also train and support a cadre of elders to conduct charge conferences throughout the area. We're already in the process of auditing our charge conferences so that we're asking the right questions and scaling back unnecessary forms and processes that limit local congregations' ministry opportunities. This is in addition to the teams of clergy and laity I've mentioned before, who will be trained to help local ministries maneuver through conflicts or challenges. We're asking our leaders to be more creative and innovative. Therefore, we ask every local ministry to be more innovative, creative, and open. If the only time you can come together is on Sunday, we probably need to ask about your ministry and your capacity. With this new model, we will also want to ensure we use individuals' time wisely. This means addressing how we conduct our cabinet meetings across the area. We can't have people in meetings all the time because that keeps them from doing the ministry they are called to do. Planning is good and necessary, but ultimately we want people in the field living out the ministry God has entrusted to them. Over the next several months, we'll continue to prepare our incoming superintendents with capacity building experiences, learning experiences, and some team building exercises. We'll also do the same for our congregations with pastoral leaders serving as superintendents. There's a lot to do, but it's all possible because our connectional resources are coming alongside us to help us.